Hello, I'm Mordrigan, and I will be your GM tonight for Urban Decay, Blood in the Streets, Session 1. Now, Blood in the Streets is actually the scenario in the back of the book, so please bear in mind that this may have... Oh, God, so I'm knocking everything off my table. This may have some spoilers in it. Certain names and things have been changed because I don't like running in other people's stuff. Now, I've also got players. I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves, but we don't yet know who everybody is playing. So, first we've got Plot.
Plot? Yeah.
And then we've got Hardwick.
Hello, I'm Hardwick.
And then we've got Archive.
I'm Archive.
And then we've got Loka.
I'm Loka.
That was the weirdest introduction I think we've ever done, but... Actually, no, I'm sure there's one where we did one where Blooded was Hulk Hogan. I can breathe. So, we're going to be playing Urban Decay today, which is an Osprey game. It is the beat-em-up role-playing Urban Decay by John Matthew DeFoggy and illustrated by Bob Crumb. It is... basically an homage to all of those old side-scroller arcade games that you used to pour endless 10p's into back in the 1980s and 90s, which were always seemingly about, oh, the man is coming to take your turf from you as a gang, and you've got to defend your turf. And it always turned out like the man was either local government who was going to bulldoze the recreation ground, or a drug dealer who just wanted to use everybody as drug mules and stuff like that, which is basically what this game is about. So the players today will actually be playing a throwback way back at the beginning of oh yes. Sorry, Plot has just put a picture. Archive, you should wait until we start talking and then say that. But yes, Plot, that is exactly the sort of game we're talking about. Sorry, things are happening in the Zoom chat. Back in the day when I first started running role-playing games, I watched Akira and then watched Dracula, the Bram Stoker's Dracula, back-to-back while absolutely boiling my arse off with flu while I was home ill from, I want to say college, but it may have been secondary school. And I fell asleep, as you do after watching those two films, and hallucinated my arse off and ended up running a 3-year-long campaign, a Vampire the Masquerade campaign set in Grimsby, where I had the misfortune of living, where a biker gang fought vampires every week. And that biker gang was called the Grave Warriors. My players tonight will be playing the Grave Warriors Reborn. You all live in a place called the Dredges, i.e. a shitty part of town. It's not quite the docks, but it's pretty shit. The Grave Warriors hang out in a cave system beneath the Hanging Oak Cemetery, and you've defended your turf from other gangs for a while. You're not a large gang, but neither are the gangs around you, and frankly, your turf, up until now, has not been considered lucrative enough for people to want to take it. Lately, however, there's been incursions by other gangs. You've not caught them at it, but you have seen them coming in, or seen the wreckage they've left behind as they've come in and roughed somebody up. Something big is definitely coming. However, before we do that, we're going to have to choose characters. Now, I've done pre-gens for my players, so we've got... it would help if I could see the screen because I am blind now on account of being ancient. And that Zoom level that I've got there is not big enough for me. One mo. So, we've got Suyorida, who is the leader, who is charismatic, self-trained, is the face character, and has the background, the agent. The agent. Oh, you've dedicated yourself to a higher cause. In this case, looking after your turf. Then you've got Kashikoi Kagaku, who is clever, skillful, was raised in a temple or sanctuary of some description, is the weapons master, and is a survivor. You believe in being the last man standing. Or woman. These are all, like, gender-neutral characters, so you can choose either a man or woman after the fact. Then we have Okinayama, strong, from a law enforcement background, but that could just mean you used to be an enforcer for the mob, or maybe you were a gang heavy for somebody else. They are the fighter and the knight, which means they protect people weaker than them and actually get a special ability where they can jump in the way as somebody is going to get hit. However, that all casts clash points, and Okinayama, because they are so fucking tough, doesn't have that many clash points. Then there's Haya Shugiro, who is too fast. They are of the criminal background. They are the wheelman of the gang, and they are the local. So lots of local knowledge. And the local is, you're from the city. While others may live here, your identity is bound to the city. Don't know what that means, but you know. And then there's a Gekido, who is angry, self-taught. Who is the finder, i.e. the person who locates equipment, and is stoic. You've cultivated a certain detachment from the world around you. Also, they're, if I remember correctly, they're good at finding weapons and stuff. And finally, we've got Shizu Keiza, who is silent, sneaky, from the street, and is the second story man, and a goddamn killer. They are very definitely the one who's going to actually kill people on account of they have killer instincts, which means their attacks ignore 2 points of protection, and they're banging around with Molotov cocktails. The second email I sent you, incidentally, has actual character sheets for each of these characters rather than the big long list. So, has any of those characters caught anyone's eye in particular? I'm going to go round the table again, so I will start with you, Plot, as you're in the top left.
Oh, I was going to do my usual thing of letting other people pick and take what was left.
Fair enough. In that case, I will move on to you, Hardwick.
Okay. Nothing was really jumping out.
Okay. Archive, anything jumping for you?
I don't know.
Well, do you have any sort of character you'd like to play?
Not too talky.
Not talky. Well, on a not bonus talky. Point, on a bonus point, as long as you're not the first one, you're not particularly talky in any of the other cases. The only other talky-ish one is the Hayasuguru, sorry, who is the criminal wheels, who is also a local. The least talky, I suspect, is Okinayama, who is just like a big hunk of muscle, or possibly the second story man, who is the goddamn killer with Molotov cocktails. Let's not forget that bit. And finally, Loka?
I was thinking, for simplicity's sake this evening, Okinayama.
Okay, then. So you're the only one who's got an actual choice. Does anyone absolutely disagree with Loka taking Okinayama?
No, it's fine.
No.
Perfect. In which case, you go ahead and claim Okinayama. Do you want to take Shizukeza then, Archive, as they are not talky but fighty?
Okay.
Or do you want one of the others?
I don't know.
Do you want to roll a d10 and half it?
I need to read through them all again. I didn't have a chance to look at any of this before we logged on. So,
fair enough. Yeah. You go have a look, and I'll go to the other two, and that may pare down the choices a little anyway. Hardwick, coming back to you. Do you fancy playing the face character, or one of the others? Okinayama's gone.
I was thinking Haya Shigeru.
Okay. So the secondary talkie person, but also the wheels. Yeah. Cool. You take them then. Plot and archive are the last two to choose. So the last ones available are to sue your reader. Oh, God, this could be easier. Kashikoi Kagaku. No, Kiniyama's gone. Hashishiguro's gone. Gekido and Shizukeza. So there's like four. And only the first one is particularly talky. That is the face character. Go on.
I'm thinking either Shizukeza or Kashikoya Kagu.
Shikoya
Kagaku.
Kashikoya Kagu, Shizukeza or Kashikoya Kagu. Okay, yeah, I believe both of those are available. Plot, do you care if either of those go?
No, that's fine.
Which do you prefer then, Barker? Got free choice.
Yeah, good question. Good question. I mean, I feel like I wrote off. Well, Gekido felt like I'd ended up with too much of the Sven vibes.
Fair enough.
So maybe I should go murderer because, you know, the other one does healing and I'm doing that in D&D.
That's fair. That's fair.
So, yeah.
Shizukeza it is then. And then plot, which would you like to take?
I'll go with Gekido, please.
Fair enough. So, we have got, we don't have Kashikoi Kagaku, we don't have Tetsuya Oida. We've got Okiniyama being played by Loka.
Oh, right, yes, but me. I'm Loka Sindoris. I'm playing Meat Mountain Okiniyama.
Yes. And then we have Hayashiguro. I wrote these names and I'm already regretting it. Hayashiguro being played by
Hardwick. Hello.
We have Gekido being played by
Plop.
And finally, Shizukeza being played by
Archive.
Right. Now, before we start, we have one final little bit of stuff we've got to do, which is select what crew type you are. Now, you have been written as if you are a street squad, and it's perfectly all right for you to go, you know what, sure, I'm going to take street squad, then that'll be fine. But I will give you the other options just in case. Choppers, you steal cars and chop them up for sale. Fighting stable, you come from the same dojo, fighting club, or competitive stable. Investigators, you're members of some investigatory institution. You live in a cave system under a cemetery. Probably not. Street squad, you protect the neighborhood. Or thieves, you're a bunch of thieves. Does anybody strongly feel that they don't want to be a street squad, but instead want to be one of the other things?
Okay, so street squad like the default.
Street squad is the default, yes, in this case.
Okay.
But
I'm happy with either that or chopping up cars. Both of those sound fun. I don't know about anyone else.
I'm not picky.
Right. So as a street squad, then, there are four skills that are assigned to street squad. Each of you will get to take one of these skills and add 20% to your stat in that skill. These skills are influence, melee weapons, streetwise, and willpower. I strongly suggest you give Shizukeza the melee weapons one, just simply because, like, they're the killer. Although I suppose you're mostly using Molotov cocktails, aren't you? So I'm going to do this in reverse order. Oh, go on.
What was the fourth one?
Willpower.
Willpower, okay. Mm.
So I'm actually going to go in reverse order here. Loka, are there any of those four that you particularly think would work for your character, Okiniyama?
I get the impression that this class is probably going to be doing melee weapons a whole bunch.
Yeah.
And if the killer is using Molotov cocktails, then I might ask for, what was it, weapons melee?
Melee weapons, yeah, that would put you up to a 45 with the giant fire axe you've got. Anyone disagree?
No.
Okay, Loki, you've taken melee weapons.
Okay.
Choose another member of the crew and explain how the two of you met and how your chosen skill affected that meeting. That person also gets a 10% bonus to melee weapons.
Who was the wheels guy?
Wheels?
That was Hardwick. Probably axed a car right in front of you. And you were pissed off about this fact.
Okay. So Kashikoi Kagoku, you get plus 10% to melee weapons, putting you on a mighty 65.
Jesus.
Yeah. So at this point it becomes
Kashikoi Kazuki is one of the ones we're not playing.
Oh, I'm an idiot.
I'm Shiguri.
Yeah, so you are. It puts you on a 30 for melee weapons. Never mind.
Oh well.
So moving on to you, Archive. Do you want influence, streetwise, or willpower? You probably get the most benefit out of willpower, I reckon.
Sure.
Which will put you up to a 55 on that.
Okay.
And then choose another character and detail how you met and how streetwise made that happen. I don't know.
Or would it be willpower made
it happen? Oh, willpower made it happen, yes. That's the one. Some kind of drinking competition, maybe, or...
I'm trying to edit the sheet and it won't let me, so...
I don't know why. They are editable sheets because I spent all lunchtime doing them.
Yeah, no, I can't.
You have to stick to the text boxes, unfortunately.
What's that?
You have to stick to the text boxes, unfortunately.
It won't let you change it in the actual skill section. I had to write it in the, I think it's traits section below.
Yeah, for some reason, the skills things have been set to be tick boxes.
Yeah.
I think that's because some of them have like...
Oh, that's to say, are they like they were underlined on the other thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, it hasn't left anything.
Text box for the actual number.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
Mm. It's quite hard to read.
Yeah, sorry.
I might have to do my best. I might have to give up on the actual sheet and just
You can edit the numbers in the talents bit.
Oh, I'm trying, and it just keeps deleting things instead.
Helpful.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Might have to go from the Word version.
I did send a Word version, at least. So the two versions.
I'm trying to change this to.
You're adding 20% to willpower, so you're at 55.
Okay.
And who did you meet due to your willpower?
Don't know.
If you want a suggestion, somebody's playing Gekido and they get bonuses for willpower stuff. Just saying.
Okay, sure. I could have met them.
Willpower is for resisting influence, resisting interrogation, powering through emotional problems, etc., etc.
Okay.
How about you met them in police lockup where you were both being interrogated but didn't tell them anything?
Sure. Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, this stuff is really hard when I don't have any feel for the character or system yet.
Yeah.
But I don't know what's going on.
I know. That I whenever they do this in character generation, I'm always like, but you don't know the character yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess it's easier if you've written the character yourself because you get a feel for them while you're writing them.
Yeah, but...
Whereas Epigen makes sense for this because we've not spent ages making them, but on the other hand, no. I have no idea who I am.
No. So let's move on to you, Hardwick. You have a choice between influence or streetwise. Yes. Influence or streetwise.
What's the difference?
Oh, and Gekido, you just got 10% to your willpower.
Mm-hmm.
Influence is saying to people, hey, do the thing. Streetwise is going, hey, I know that Bob down the street's got a sawn-off shotgun in the back of his car. We could go nick that. Please note, you guys will not be using guns it's a bad idea for you. Not so much for the bad guys. But anyway, so which would you like? Influence or streetwise?
Oh, that sounds fair.
It is kind of a staple of these 1980s style games and films where the bad guys have got guns and you guys just use baseball bats. I'm not certain why, but rules-wise, it is very much enforced. Every time you shoot a gun, I'm going to gain domination points, which are basically my momentum.
Fair enough. I will go with streetwise.
Streetwise. Okay, well, add 20 to your streetwise and then tell me who you met and how streetwise helped.
I will go for... I will go for Plot's character. Sorry, I can't remember which one it is.
Kikido.
Okay. And how did your street smarts mean you met? Bear with me a second. The power cord is not in the computer, and if it turns off, we lose the recording. There we go. Off you go.
It was with like assistance with finding some weapons.
I see. And finally, Plot, you get influence. So increase your influence by 20% and then tell me how your influence helped you meet somebody else. Please note, you also just gained 10% in your streetwise.
10. Yep. Okay. All right. So back to the list. Who has not had many boosts?
Okiniyama actually uses influence for intimidation, but currently only has a 35%.
Okay, so they would seem like a good candidate.
Mm-hmm.
So probably it's some kind of face down or like intimidation type thing rather than actual fighting.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So, Akiniyama, you've just got 10% to your influence. Now, I'm supposed to ask you a whole load of questions. What caused your characters to stand up to the neighborhood of ages? What do you say on the street, etc., etc.? We've already worked out. We don't really know these characters yet, and we'll probably find that out during the game. So you now have 10% to add to one skill and 5% to add to three other skills. Go right ahead and add those or write them on the side and add them later during play. And unless there are any questions, I think we're ready to begin. Do have your percentage case ready.
1 times 10 and 3 times 5, was that?
Yeah, 1 times 10, 3 times 5. Now, any questions before we start? You'll need percentage dice and then D6.
I need to make a Word version of this sheet because it's not working.
There was a Word version that I emailed on the first email.
Yes.
Yes, Hardwick, you had a question.
Skill is used for like hitting.
Striking is for punching. Kicking is for kicking. Melee weapons is for hitting people with shit that you keep in your hand. And throwing weapons is used for throwing shit at people. You'll note you don't have a gun skill. This is because you don't get a gun skill. Gun style weapons do have their own like skilly stuff. Most things are going to do... What the fuck? Okay, give me a second. I'm just going to look something up because I'm very confused by something. Because some of you have got damage bonuses of quite a lot, and I'm trying to work out whether that means what I think it means. Because if it does, oh dear gods. Page 74. Okay, that's fine. Right. Fucking hell. So you all have a number for your damage bonus. Yeah. If your damage bonus is 0, your extra bonus is 0. If your damage bonus is 1, you get plus 1d6. And then 2 is 1d8, 3 is 1d10, and so on and so forth. Up until 5, where it's 2d6.
Heavy.
Yeah. And then most weapon damages will be your strike damage, which is 1d8, plus the weapon size modifier, plus your damage bonus. Any other questions before we begin?
Is that like you add them up and then convert it to dice, or...?
No, no. So for you, with your fire axe,
yeah,
which is a one-handed heavy weapon, well, medium weapon, actually, I believe it is, it costs you a clash point to attack with it because it's heavy.
Right.
Once you do attack with it, however, the damage is one-handed... Oh, no, it's a heavy one-handed weapon. So you would roll 1d8 plus 5 plus, for you, 1d10, add all of that together, and that's the amount of damage you do to the enemy.
So 1d8 plus 1d8, 1d10 plus 5.
Yeah. And that just comes straight off their hit points if they haven't got any protection. That's a lot. Your damage bonus is pretty horrifically powerful. You paid for it, though, in that you only have 3 clash points, or 2 clash points if you're wearing your big heavy armor. But if you've got it, you can whack them real hard. So, are we all ready to begin? Any other questions? In which case, I will begin. The rain beats down on, well, I want to say the windows, but you don't really have windows in a cave system. It beats down on the sort of leather, the plastic. You know those hanging plastic curtains that you have in like meat warehouses? You've rigged some of those up at the cave entrances so that water doesn't run straight in. Inside the cave is actually relatively nice. You've got some generators set up, some sofas you found on the side of the road, and you drag whatever bikes you've got in here. That's motorbikes, not push bikes. You're not that side of the gang. Into the cave when necessary. You each got your own little cubby hole in the cave, and there's a string of like fairy lights above you providing illumination. Outside, Mother Nature attempts to wash the dredges clean in yet another futile gesture. As you look around, you see the rest of the crew going about the same motions you are. The tension for the last couple of weeks, including the arrival of a new drug known as chill in the neighbourhood. The violence in the park last week is weighing on all of you. But you have this, your safe area. It may not be pretty, and it's under a graveyard, so it isn't. But it is yours. So, Akiniyama, what are you up to this rainy afternoon?
We've got bikes. I'll probably be making sure that mine is in good running condition.
Okay, so you're...
That or sharpening the axe.
Well, you're tuning up your bike, making sure like it's been well-oiled, well-looked at. Mordigan doesn't know anything about motorbikes. Well-oiled. You've drained the oil out, replaced it, making sure your chain's all good. You're quite pleased with it. It's not an expensive motorcycle in any way, shape, or form, but it's yours, and you keep it well looked after. Hayashiguru, what are you up to?
Probably practicing with lock picking.
Okay, so you've got yourself a bunch of padlocks, and you're timing yourself as you stick the tensioners in, trying to get through them. You're still having a little bit of problem with the master lock, because it's got those weird conical pins, but you think you're getting it. And then over in the other corner, Shusukeza, what are you doing?
Listening to music.
Okay. What sort of music you got on?
Maybe some sort of post-rock or something, you know, no words.
No words, just
something
sad.
Like God is an Astronaut.
Ah, nice. And then finally, over towards the front of the cave, Kashikoi Kagaku, what are you doing?
Have you got the wrong character there?
I have again. I keep fucking doing that. Which one are you playing again?
Gekido.
Gekido. Right, bear with me. I'm going to put a note in my notes. Loka is a Koniyama. Hiya, Shiguru. Who are you? It's you, isn't it, Hardwick? Hardwick. I'm doing so well today. In my defense, I'm very tired. I'm always very tired. You're playing Gekido Plot.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I've got you down as playing Kago. And then Shizukeza is Archive. Right. I now have down who's playing who, which helps. Right. So, Gekido, what are you doing over by the entrance to the cave?
Probably bouncing a ball off the wall or something.
Okay. Just sort of trying to build up your reflexes for if there's another rumble in the park. Want to be People's Park. It's a big, wide open area. You're sort of enjoying yourselves. The cave, as I said, it's not really like wet and damp and horrible in here. You have made some effort to make it quite pleasant. And the local people do know you live here. So you're not terribly surprised when you hear somebody sort of walking up the sort of windy path that leads to the cave door. You can hear them walking on the gravel. They trip a couple of your trip wires of tin cans and there's a jangling. And then you sort of hear someone banging on like the bit of wood you've got outside. Hello? Hello? Are you there?
Who is it?
This woman comes up to the thing, the big thick plastic sheeting and pushes her way inside. This is a lady called Maria. She's just one of the locals who live in the dredges. She's completely soaked from head to foot. Water is pooling around her feet. She's not very tall. She's a very short lady. She looks up at you, and you can see, like, although most of what's running down her face is rain, she is also crying. Please, you've got to help Brother Thomas. We've got nowhere else to turn. You can actually see behind us some more of the people from the dredges are coming up. Some of them you know, like neighbours and so on. Some of them, like, you've seen in passing. They work in the local shops and so on. Some of them you've never met before. But they've all turned up to ask you for help. Please, can we all come in? It's like maybe 10 or 15 of them.
Sure, come in.
They all sort of filter in through the plastic sheeting, making sure to put it back in place. They all sort of shuffle around. Some of them look proper rough. The dredges is not a nice place. It is one of the harshest places in the city to live. So some of these people, like, they're clearly on drugs, or they're beaten down, or they're just managing to scrape by. The people who work in the shops look probably the best. You know, Maria is, well, she used to be a nurse at the hospital, but they fired her after she was caught stealing medical supplies. Now, the medical supplies she was stealing were things like Narcan to help people around here with overdoses and so on, but the high-ups in Uptown didn't really care about that, so she's ended up wound up down here. Now, she mentioned Brother Thomas. Brother Thomas is a guy who... He runs like a sort of outreach house in the center of town. He runs it out of an old church called St. Mark's. He's not religious himself. He mostly uses it as like a place to let the homeless come and sleep. He runs like Alcoholics and Drugs Anonymous out of there. He's done quite a lot of good works, like starting shelters and food kitchens and stuff. And like I suspect probably you guys have met with Brother Thomas before as well. Does anyone have anything particularly that connects them with Brother Thomas? Like, did he help you or something else?
Maybe he's like helped some of our family or someone we know who's been, I don't know, beaten up or something.
I mean, he does run, him and Maria actually have run like, not exactly clinics, but you know when you've got like, oh, today we've got a nurse in our outreach center. If you want to come in and discuss any like personal health problems with her, she might be able to help you. And like half the dredges turn up with all of the fucking illnesses that they haven't been able to get dealt with. So yeah, you've probably taken like members of your family along there. So you kind of know that he's not like well funded. But he owns St. Mark's outright, because the Dredges is not like a place known for its like high building cost, shall we say? No, nobody really would be surprised. But he bought it quite some time ago, and he's built it up and up and up. So yeah, like there's about a dozen people, Maria waits until everybody's in, and then she turns back to you. It started about a month ago when Brother Thomas was approached about selling St. Mark's. He said no, but the lawyer, he kept coming back. He tried to talk to me a few times, but I blew him off. Every time he came back, though, he made a bigger offer to Brother Thomas. You know Thomas, he wouldn't sell the place for any amount of money. He's done some digging and found out like there's like several of the businesses around there have been bought up by like little different businesses. So like houses here and there have been bought out by this one little company, and the shops have been bought out by another little company all around St. Mark's. And he kind of said to me that they were all like owned by the same person. So last week, this, you know, just before the fight at the park, when that other gang came in, well, this guy, Lucian, came and talked to Brother Thomas. And I could tell Brother Thomas was pretty scared by this guy, because he was like, "You're going to have to sell to me. You're not going to get the good deal anymore. And if you don't sell, you're going to risk the consequences." And like Brother Thomas, he still said no, but I could tell he was concerned. And like then 2 days ago, he's gone. I've not heard from him since then. I went to go see him at St. Mark's like about an hour ago. And there's like all these strangers in the parking lot and wandering around, and they stopped us going in to see him. So like, they were like, "Oh, the brother's in a real important meeting," but like they didn't look like the sort of people who'd be holding a business meeting. Shall I? That's how I'd say it.
Okay.
We didn't know who else to turn to, and like, I mean, we all know that this is your turf, so like, they're in your turf, and you and I both know that the Dredges wouldn't be the same without Brother Thomas.
I'm assuming that we are all of the opinion that it would be substantially worse, right?
Oh, God, yeah. So, like I said, Brother Thomas, he does, like, mental health stuff. He does drug harm reduction stuff. He takes out food to, like, the elderly and so on. He's a proper full-on philanthropist. You don't really know much about where he came from. You get the impression that, because he bought St. Mark's flat out. He doesn't have a mortgage on the place. He just bought it flat out. And it's an old Catholic church. He just bought the place outright. So you guess he might be from money, might be from uptown, but he doesn't, he's always the same. Like, he's like 6'3", black guy, bit of a graying beard now, no hair on the top of his head, but he's always wearing like these kind of old looking cardigans, old looking sweaters, and like he's got what used to probably be nice jeans, but they're kind of patched. His shoes are always good though. He's always like wearing these good leather shoes, and he does seem to have like multiple pairs because you don't see the same pair on him like twice in a week. He's relatively powerfully built, but he's getting on a bit now. You'd reckon he'd probably be like late 50s, early 60s, maybe. But he's really done a lot for the area.
Nayama is going to quietly make sure that the bike is all ready to go and the axe is ready.
Yeah, so this mighty man. Go on, describe yourself. Go on.
Were it not for the sort of size and muscle on muscle kind of description, you'd mostly forget them. Mm-hmm. They've got brown hair, brown eyes, you know, blend into the locals' skin tone. And that's about where your brain stops processing detail because it just goes muscle.
And there is a lot of muscle, isn't there?
Yes.
A huge amount of muscle, in fact, if I remember correctly.
Is there a specific stat I need to be looking at for this?
If you look at your wounds per row, I think that's...
7.
Yeah. Everybody else is on like 4 or 5. Also, your damage bonus, you're on like 3. Everybody else is usually on 1. You're very much the man mountain. Let's put it that way.
I'm not doing much of the talking either.
No.
Because the actions tend to get there first.
You're not like fast. Looking at your clash points, you're not fast. But you are solid. Like,
it's all they've needed to be.
Yeah. Very solid indeed. So yeah, your axe is sharp, your bike is ready. What about the rest of you? What are the rest of you doing? Maria's just sort of standing there now. She kind of looks like she's run out of things that she... You get the impression that she'd been rehearsing that whole speech on the way here, maybe like in a sort of council with everybody else who's come, because she's been made their spokesperson. She's kind of run to the end of her prepared speech, so he's sort of waiting to see what you say now.
I will hand her a towel.
Mm-hmm.
Just say, oh, I'm sure we can do something.
Oh, good. I'm really worried. And what do you look like, Hardwick?
So generally, you know, jeans and a shirt. Has got kind of wavy blonde hair.
Mm-hmm.
Has a little pouch for a knife on the belt, and hanging up is a leather duster.
Mm-hmm. Remember, when you put the leather duster on, your clash points go down by 1. Your prediction goes up to 3, so me? Mm-hmm. Thank you. She sort of towels her hair dry a bit and then hands it off to one of the rest of the crowd who are just as soaked as her. I really hope you'll be able to help him. I'm really worried about him. I wouldn't be here if I wasn't. What about the other two?
I guess we'd better go and see who's trying to muscle into our turf.
Well, there was like a dozen of them, and they all had this same tattoo. It looked like a knife had been sheathed in their forearm. Who wants to make me a streetwise check? An easy.
How do you do that?
So, you look at your streetwise skill.
Uh-huh.
You take your D100. Now, this is an easy streetwise check, so you add 25% to your streetwise skill, and then you roll a percentage die and try and get under it. And you also tell me if you get doubles under it, because that's a crit.
Alternatively, I can hail one of my dice somewhere down the back of my desk.
I mean, that also works.
Says easy is plus 50.
Does it? Which is weird, because in the notes in this adventure, it says easy plus 25.
Simple. But, yeah.
Well, in that case, they meant simple. It's plus 25.
Okay.
You got what?
I got under it by like 20.
Okay, but did you get doubles on the dice?
No.
Okay. So you would know that this tattoo means these are the Hidden Knife Gang. This is a small-time group of gangers who are basically muscle for hire, but their turf is not in the dredges. It's not even particularly close to the dredges. They hire out from the docks, so they're a pretty distance from where their home turf is. Also, what do you look like, Gikido?
Probably sort of an average sort of height and build, but quite tanned, a shaved head, and generally seems to be together, but occasionally sort of if someone says something doesn't, like, you could see the rage boil through very quickly.
And I believe that leads us to the last member of your little group, Shizukeza. What do you look like?
She's quite small, just wearing leggings and a hoodie, and has about shoulder lengthish bright pink hair.
Fair enough. And your signature weapon, do you have a clanking bag? Or if you say you've got a Tesco bag for life full of Molotov cocktails, I may be forced to give you a momentum point.
No, she's got one of those sort of crossbody, sort of large-ish bags.
Right, hey. Yeah, the sort of satchel things. Cool. Yeah, I think I don't really know who they were, but yeah, when we went, there was like maybe a dozen in the car park. There might have been more around the site, though. They ran us off pretty quick. Please, you got to go help him. Brother Thomas is real in trouble. And with that, I assume you're going to head off in the direction of St. Mark's.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So.
Stage one start.
The people who've slogged here through the rain, slog back out through the rain, having just toweled themselves off, and start making their way back down into the dredges. You take a little minute to gather your equipment, pull on your armor, leather coats and dusters, check your equipment, make sure you've got some snacks for later. That's what those power bars are. Check your brass knuckles, your steel-toed boots, and any larger weapons, such as the fucking massive baseball bat that Gekido's got. Shit. I don't think I've noted on your character sheet that costs clash points to wield. Bear with me. Do you have a CP to wield on that, Gekido?
No.
Bear with me, then I'll find it for you. Because it is a light two-handed, it costs one CP to swing it.
Okay.
But you've got like five clash points, so it's less of a problem for you.
Sorry, it does on the PDF one. It doesn't on the Word one.
Okay, cool. Okiniyama and you both have heavy weapons which cost CP to swing, but make up for it in horrific damage. So, you jump on your bikes. You have a separate exit for the bikes because... you've got at the front door where you've got those hanging plastic things, you've got this big sort of, it's not like a hobbit door, but you've got like a big wooden thing you can put in and wedge in place to lock that door up. But on the side of the cave system that comes out towards one of the paths in the cemetery, you've actually got a proper welded in sort of metal gate that you use as the exit for the bikes, because that way you can come out and then padlock everything up. So you and your bikes all come out of the side, St. Mark's is you're almost on the outskirts of the city here. The Dredge is like right on the outskirts. It's the shitty old industrial bit. It's quite a sort of long and thin area that runs down towards the docks, with the higher class sections, like it, more into the center of the city. You know that St. Mark's is not that far away, maybe 4 or 5 minutes by motorcycle. But there is the issue that if you go roaring up on a motorcycle, you're going to be real obvious. So it's up to you whether you want to stop short and then go in on foot, or if you just want to roar up and really make an impression.
Okinami is, whatever. Oki is all for either, as long as they get to use the axe.
Anyone else got any preferences? Would anybody be making any suggestions?
I think we should maybe go on, well, approach on foot to see what's actually happening.
Mm-hmm. Any dissenters?
No.
Okay. So you drive along the way and you pull up maybe 2 streets away, 2 blocks maybe, and you start walking in towards St. Mark's. Now, St. Mark's is an old building. It's got like a what used to be the old fellowship hall on the side, which is, I want to say, a new build, but it was built like end of the 70s, so it's not new now. But it's way newer than the, 1700s church? Obviously, none of it's religious anymore. There used to be a graveyard, but they moved everybody when the church was sold, and that's where the parking lot now is. You do believe there is still a crypt, but you don't know if there's anyone in it. As you reach there, the rain is absolutely shitting down out of the sky. The grey clouds are now starting to become glowing orange as the sun goes down, and the street lamps that are still alive in the dredges start to reflect fitfully from the base of the yellowy grey clouds. The chapel is stone-faced with images of lions and griffins worked into the stained glass and a few statues here and there, quite a lot of which have been snapped in half or broken away. The fellowship hall is mostly dark. There's only a few lights on in the church, which is odd. Normally, the whole place would be either lit up or completely dark, not half and half. The parking lot lights flicker in the darkness, and you can see a group of people standing under an awning in front of the church. The rain is smashing down, and you do occasionally off in the distance just hear a little rumble of thunder that causes the ground to shake a little, and the pieces of broken glass in the gutters just to rattle together. The rain, there's a strong smell of wet concrete and blocked drains, but also like oil or gasoline of some description. It's real dark now. It's getting on towards like late evening, and the storm is definitely not helping. Incidentally, the poor lightning increases the CP cost of all actions and reactions by 1. Apart from under that church awning, where there's a fair amount of light. Despite the rain, though, it is still warm and muggy. The storm hasn't quite taken away the warmth in the air. So what are you guys doing? You're the other side of the parking lot at the moment.
Well, are they doing anything particular under this awning, or just sheltering from the rain?
So you're like out of sight on the other side of the parking lot, so you can't see well. Do you want to make me a perception?
Yeah. Okay. So it's what, just under my stat?
Under your percentage under your perception stat.
No, not with a 95.
Yeah, you can't really see. From this distance, like, You can see the group of people. You can see them milling around. You can hear their voices occasionally. It sounds like occasionally somebody will laugh or like shout at somebody else. But they're mostly just sort of standing under the awning. It looks like they might have like a dustbin fire over there to keep them warm. No, I've just told you that the air is warm and muggy. They don't have a dustbin fire over there to keep them warm. They've got a dustbin fire over there because they like fucking fire. But yeah, they're just sort of knocking about over there. You can't really tell from this distance what they're doing.
Okay.
Besides presumably being obvious and telling people to keep out.
Yeah. You guess possibly they were like patrolling earlier. But then it started to rain and they're like, no, fuck that shit. Actually, as you're standing here, you do see coming down the side of St. Mark's another group of these guys. They sort of trudge past in the rain. They don't really notice you because they're not doing a very good job, but they're sort of looking around and just checking nobody's there. They go past the awning and they like make as if to get into the awning. And one of the guys who's in there just sort of pushes them back out and points round the side of St. Mark's, and they trudge off in that direction.
Okay, noting him down as potential leadership.
Yeah, probably. I mean, they just look like gang members from this distance. You can't really tell one from the other.
So the awning is kind of full, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, almost. I mean, those other five guys could have got in if they really wanted them to, but yeah. And that's directly outside, like, the front door into the church.
Is there another way in?
You know,
can you get through the hole?
You know, there's a back way in. You might be able to get into the fellowship hall through the windows, but it's a bit of a weird building. To describe the fellowship hall, it's like, it's a big rectangular brick building, and the walls of the brick building are like, for want of a better word, it looks like a school recreation hall. You know those ones where it's only got the windows way up high?
Uh-huh.
It's one of them. It's a big rectangular building with windows like only for the last meter at the top. So you could get in. You'd have to climb up and get in through the windows at the top.
So are we just going to go at them, or
I don't know. Are we going for stealth here? I mean, there's only four of us and plenty of them.
Oki is going to look themselves up and down and go, I'm not sure I can do stealth.
Niyama, stealth is 35%. Probably not. What you all doing? The front door, is it? Go around the back, see if there's anything there. Go in through the fellowship hall. What are you doing?
If there is back door, I'd probably suggest that.
Okay.
But I'm open to suggestions from others as well.
Well, let's go take a look, see if there's a group around there.
Okay. Go right ahead and make me... I want to say a simple... No, because they've fucked up the table, haven't they? Go and make me a easy stealth check. So plus 50, because you're going quite... Unless you want to take 10 minutes to go like blocks out of your way so you can come at the place from the other direction, I'm assuming you're sneaking past.
Okay.
So if everybody can make me a stealth plus 50% roll and tell me what you get. Bear in mind, if that takes you over 100%, 100 is a fumble and 99 is still a failure.
I got 45, which is with plus 50, exactly half. So
nice.
So with plus 50, my stealth is 85. I rolled a 91.
Okay, cool. Rightio. bear in mind... This is a good time where you could use momentum.
What does it start at?
2 plus the number of characters, so 6 total at the moment.
I would like to use a momentum to reroll that.
Yeah, that seems fair. So your momentum is down to 5. Just remembered, I need
47 that time.
Okay. Archive. Or Hardwick. What did you two get?
I rolled a 13.
Okay, you're good. Do you have a talent incident for stealth?
No.
No, in which case, I believe it's Shizu Keiza who has a talent for stealth. Archive, you actually roll 2 d10s and take whichever one you want for the tens number.
2 d10s? Oh, for the tens number?
Yes. So because this is stealth happening at night time, you have a talent for it. So you roll your percentage, but you roll 2 percentage numbers and then take whichever one you like. This may not be the lowest one, because you might notice that you roll the same number as your unit's dice and want to get a crit, because that gives you a point of momentum.
I don't want to roll the same number as my unit's dice.
I see.
My unit's dice is a 0.
Yeah, you don't. You definitely don't want to roll the same number as your unit's dice, you're right.
I got a 20.
That's fair enough. So you all start moving around the outside of the parking lot, trying to get round towards the back. Akiniyama, you're walking along, and then your foot slips on like a broken beer bottle, and it just sort of starts to skitter along, and you just very quickly reach down and to grab it before it can make too much of the rolling bottle sound. You look up, like nervous that they might have seen you, realize that they haven't, and make your way round to the back of the church. At the back of the church, you can find another door. This one's got like a few people guarding it, but it's a lot smaller group than the front. And also, you do realize that like there's the other patrolling group, but they've gone past already. So you could make your way in here if you're quick and you like either get these guys out of the way or deal with them. There's only like 5 of them here.
I'm gonna look at
Okiniyama, I assume.
I'm gonna look at Okiniyama and say, you up for this?
I'm just gonna hold up the axe and go, this one? Or holds up a fist, this one.
He looks good.
Axe it is.
Fucking let's go to the murdering. Okie dokie. So at this point, 2 things happen. All of you should roll a d6 and add your initiative. And I will do that for these fucks.
And for Okie.
Give me a second, because I've got a roll for my idiots as well. Oh, God. Okay, so they got initiative. Oh, actually, they did all right. So, what was yours, Loka?
Okie has 10.
Blimey. Okiniyama is slow. And then...
I rolled a 1. She has an initiative of 9.
Archive, what do you want?
15.
Okay. 15... is Shizu Keiza. And then Hardwick.
I also rolled a 1, but I'm on 13 in total.
13 is Hayashiguri. Hayashiguri. And then Plot, you're on?
I'm on 14.
14. Well, unhelpfully for you all, the mooks would go first. However, you made your stealth checks. So what actually happens is you ambush them. So, because you ambush them, you guys get to go first. Now, I actually wrote these down with your names against the slots, but the way this actually works is you've just taken those slots. So, despite the fact that Shizu Keiza rolled 15 and would go directly after the mooks, if you guys decide that Okiniyama should go at 15 and Shizu Keiza should go lower, you can do that. These become, once you've rolled them, they just become player slot or NPC slot. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, first things first then. We must all set our energy. So your energy is your like temporary hit points that you get every fight. Once you run out of them, you start taking actual wounds, which is real damage. This is just like, oh, I'm tired out. Oh, I'm getting beaten, not bruised. Until you run out of energy, you're just taking damage that you'll shrug off at the end of the fight. The moment you lose all your energy and start taking wounds, you're actually getting cut or bashed or shot in the face. So you multiply your guts stat by the number of unfilled wounds rows you've got. In this case, none of you are wounded at all. So you're multiplying your guts by 3, and that is your energy.
Okay.
Where's the fucking mooks gone? Sorry. So there's 5 of them. Yep. So I've got my mooks stats. Okay. At that point, you regenerate your clash points if you spent any since last round. Your reactive uses restart. And it's very important to note, these guys are mooks, which means they share a hip dice pool. And it also means that as you wear them down, 1, mooks will die, and 2, their stats get progressively worse because they, as they lose people, they get less good. So, this is an ambush round. So you have the slot directly after the mooks, but it doesn't really matter because they're not getting action. Who's going first out of you lot? I suspect you send in Okiniyama first.
Mm-hmm. I mean, sounds good. For that.
Fair enough.
Yeah, sounds good.
So Okiniyama wades into the fray.
Evening, gentlemen.
Oh my god! right, so this is a melee weapons attack. This is an ambush, so...
So my melee weapons is 50%, because yep. I stuck a bonus on it.
And they can't fight back because they're not allowed to spend clash points. Not that mooks really get a lot of clash points anyway. They don't get clash points. So you rush up and you swing your axe.
I am going to spend a clash point to swing the axe.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a difficulty modifier on this?
No.
Okay, so straight 50-50. Those aren't great odds.
Yeah, but if you hit...
003.
Okie dokie then. So you hit then. Please now roll your ridiculous amount of damage.
D8
plus D10 plus 5, was it? Bear in mind, there are some CP costs that you could do. You can spend 2 more clash points to increase the damage by D6 if you really wanted to.
You said they've got one big pool, right?
They've got one big pool, yes.
And clash points reset per round?
Yes, they do. So your clash points will reset before they get to go.
Well, in that case, I may as well.
Fair enough. So you... Oh, wait, hang on. Don't you only have 3 clash points? Are you wearing your armor?
It's... Oh, yeah, I would be because it's raining. So I can't do that.
No, you can't because you've only got 2 clash points total. So at this point then, you just whack them. Roll away. Oh, shit.
That's very nearly maximum damage, okay. I think. That's 9 and that's 6 plus 5, so that's 14 plus 6, which is 20.
It's kind of difficult to hack your way through a whole group of people. You go rushing in and you swing the fire axe. One guy gets it like right in the face. He goes down like a sack of shit. You reverse the grip and slam the haft of it into the stomach of another. He sort of goes, ooh, but he's not out of the fight yet. But one of the 5 guys is now completely down. Then it is one of your slots. Who would like to go next? Okiniyama has already gone, so he does not get to go again. Who's going?
Oh, okay.
Okay. So you rush in. What are you wielding? Well, you've got a choice of steel-toed boots or a knife, so...
I'll go with knife.
Are you sure?
Well, I don't know. I'm kind of disappointed it's not a tire iron. But anyway...
I mean, you could have a tire iron if you like, but the problem is that comes under melee weapons, and you're way better at just punching people in the face.
Yeah,
Or kicking.
Probably go with, kicking.
Okay, so you rush in and kick them. What this will do is it means you will be doing... It costs you 1 CP to kick them, not that you're short on CP. And if you hit them, you do 1d12 plus the damage of your steel-toed boots, which is plus 2, plus your damage bonus of 0. So you rush in and aim a kick at one of them. Off you go.
I don't get under my stack.
Okay. How far did you miss by?
23.
That's a shame. Because for 2 clash points, you can add 5% to your base skill. And you can keep doing that until you hit. Given that you've got 7 clash points, you spend 1 clash point for your kick, and then you could have increased your skill by 15% if you needed to. You rush in and you aim a kick, but the guy dodges back out of the way. Plot. Archive, who's next?
Archive, you have a go.
Archive. Are you going for the nuclear option? Or are you just going to stab some fucker?
I feel like there's quite a few people in the area.
There are.
And not all of them are particularly want dead.
No, that's fair.
So... I sort of figure she's sort of been standing there watching this and sort of pulling on her brass knuckles.
Mm-hmm.
And is now basically going to step forward and...
do some striking?
Hit someone with them. Yeah. Okay, so it's that striking with brass knuckles.
It is striking, yes.
Okay.
So you got 45%. But you do have 3 clash points, so you could raise that to a 50% if you needed to after you rolled.
What was that you said?
So when you roll, if you don't make the roll, but you're within 5%, so like 46 to 50%, if you spend 2 clash points, you can temporarily raise your skill so that you actually still hit.
Fair enough. Well, I rolled a 24 anyway.
So. Yeah, so you punch the fucker in the face. Go ahead and roll me some damage. Now, you've got a damage bonus of plus 2, making you the second most dangerous person in the group. I believe that gives you a D8, I want to say. It's a D8 plus D8 again, is it? The weapons are not in the same place as combat, which is annoying me a little. It's a D8 plus another D8 plus 2.
A D8 plus another D8?
Yeah, so roll 2D8 and then add 2 to the number.
11.
11 total.
Yes. I rolled an 8 and a 1, so a full range.
Maths. So the one who got punched in the stomach by the end of Okiniyama's axe, Hayashiguri goes in to try and kick him and just plain misses. And he just sort of stands up and reels backwards, and then you slam a fist into the side of his head, and he goes down. Plot, you're up next.
I'm going to go in with some brass knuckles.
Fair enough. You're making a strike then?
Mm-hmm. I've rolled 18, which is below my striking.
Bear in mind, you've got 5 clash points, so you might want to do the spend 2 to increase the damage by D6. And you could do it twice if you really want it.
Does that mean it becomes 2d6?
It does.
let's do that.
Given you don't have a damage bonus, so it's d8 plus d6 plus d6 plus 2 for the brass knuckles.
D8, there we go. 10.
10 damage total.
Yes.
One of the ones who was staggering upright from his friend basically collapsing on him gets smashed in the stomach as you come in with your brass knuckles. The mooks sort of gather themselves and begin their counterattack. Where you guys and the enemies match numbers, so in this case you both have a 15 slot, the NPCs always go first. And I have to roll to see what attack they do. They're going to do either the 11 to 25 or the 1 to 10. Incidentally, everybody's clash points just reset. Just so you know. One of them goes, "They're here! They're here!" and cries for help. Another group of mooks will appear soon. But that's all he does. And then they're like, "Back off, you!" and sort of try and gather together and sort of like look big and hard, which is difficult when one of your guys is down on the floor going, "Hey, hack me with an axe!" and another two of your friends are fucking unconscious. At this point, it becomes you guys. Who do you want to go first?
Lost my pen.
Who's taking the 15 slot?
I'm happy to try and make it happen again.
Fair enough. So you're going to do another strike with the axe. Costs you a CP to swing it, leaving you with one.
38, that's a hit.
And then you slam your axe into somebody and they have a real bad day. Roll your ridiculous damage, please.
Less insane this time. 15 total.
15 total. Their protection is reducing. I can't count. Okay, they're down to that. I believe we've reached the point where I need to make a morale check. They just dropped below. Okay, you step up and you hack your axe into one of their necks. There is a massive arterial spray of blood that just paints the wall of the church. And the other two guys just like, "Fuck that shit." And they start running. You can hear off in the distance another group of mooks is on its way. But the way into the church is now open should you decide to take it.
Presumably I have to wait until next turn?
No, you're not currently in combat. If you wait too long, you will be.
Let's go to the church.
I would say so.
I'm just looking at like the time.
No, I'm well aware of the time. You kick open the doors and head inside. Inside it is dark, but quieter. You reach down and find like a chair and just jam it through the handles of the door as you hear on the outside of the door and sounds of somebody confused or concerned because two of their friends are down with quite obvious bloody wounds. However, we're going to have to find out what happens next time on Urban Decay. Thank you very much for listening. We hope you've enjoyed what you've been listening to. If you have, then please do feel free to leave us your iTunes reviews, your Podchaser, your Podbean reviews. Basically, wherever you found us, just go ahead and review us. You can talk to us at thecultsoftandice.net, thecultsoftandice@gmail.com, or at cultsoftandice.bsky.com. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.